All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
It is another playoff edition of Daily Faceoff Live, streaming live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, and we are thrilled to welcome Bet365 as our sports betting partner just in time for the 2024 playoffs. We'll be here with Bet365 to give you all the news, analysis, lines, and of course, betting options for the playoffs until just one team is left standing in a couple of months. I'm Tyler Yaremchuk. He is our Daily Faceoff insider, Frank Saravalli, joining us from Vancouver. Frank, how are you doing?
I'm good. What a statement last night by the Oilers.
Ooh, what a statement indeed. There is a lot to get to today. Just recapping what went down last night in the NHL, and then also we'll take a look ahead to tonight. Johnny Lazarus from Morning Cup of Hockey and Daily Faceoff will join us in the middle of the show, live from the morning skates out at MSG. But first, let's recap what we saw last night, and we'll start out in Edmonton, Frank, where I said it's like an oil spill because it's hard to contain. You said oil spill has negative connotations. Regardless, the Edmonton Oilers were a lot for the LA Kings, and this is going to sound weird, but watching that game in person, a 7-4 final is almost flattering to the Kings. They were giving up chances left, right, and center. They weren't generating a whole heck of a lot outside of a four-minute stretch in the middle frame. I thought 7-4 was flattering. It was all Oilers in that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of what we saw in the second half of the game was score effects, right? I mean, you're dealing with essentially a Kings team that was down 4-0. Maybe the game might have been a little bit different had that goal challenge before the end of the second period gone the Kings' way. I thought it was, by the way, the correct call. It certainly looked to me like his glove directed the puck into the net. Nonetheless, maybe that changes the outcome. 4-2 heading into the break, potentially get another one, 4-3. Who knows? But it's certainly not indicative of the way the Oilers came out, which to me was the most important part of game one. For a team that hasn't won a game one in a while, for a team that has made life difficult on itself, even losing game one each of the last 2 years against the LA Kings in the first round, I said before the series started that they needed to show us that they've learned something. And then you have last night happen, and McDavid begins the game in video game mode. You've got Zach Hyman making magic happen in front of the net again. He has a hat trick. They were firing on all cylinders, and not only did the Kings not generate much, it felt like they barely had the puck and were hanging on for dear life. To me, what this shows, Tyler, is the clear gap in class between Oilers and Kings. Now, the next step on the lesson plan, if you're talking about will the Edmonton Oilers continue to learn from playoff mistakes of the past, can you make quick work of the Kings in round one? Because I don't see a path for Los Angeles to not only get back into this series, but to win it. But can the Oilers clamp down on that?
Yeah, and I think this is an Oilers team that in the past has shot themselves in the foot a lot. They've been their own worst enemy. And I think, you know, watching this team for 82 games this season, there's been some instances where they have a dominant performance. And I think we saw it almost at the beginning of the second period in that game a little bit, where they come out and they think, oh yeah, we are better than them, so let's just, you know, kind of play like it. And they get a little bit too cute, I guess. So I think next game, again, the crowd should help them a bit, but the Oilers need to make sure they stay as dialed in as they were, especially in that first period. Quickly on the Kings side, before we flip over, he's been a lightning rod for criticism this year, but Pierre-Luc Dubois last night, it was an ugly one, Frank, and he scored and he was a plus one. So I think you could look at his box scores and be like, what do you mean? He wasn't that bad. He took two incredibly stupid penalties when Dubois was on the ice at 5-on-5. The Kings were outshot 13-6, which when you look at the shot totals for the game, it really wasn't that bad for any other forward. And Jim Hiller went with this approach of spreading out his four lines. I mean, he played like a fourth liner for a guy who's listed there on our line charts. They're going to need more from a number of players, but he was supposed to be one of those new pieces that helps, you know, with three down the middle of Deneau and Pierre-Luc Dubois there. Like, he was supposed to really help them in this matchup, and he did not.
I don't mean to slag anyone, but it seemed kind of like he was channeling his inner Mitch Marner, which is kind of the perfect segue to our next topic.
Yeah, it is. Mitch Marner was not. And we talked yesterday about how can the Leafs stars get going. Marner didn't. Auston Matthews did. He comes up with a very clutch goal late in that game, an absolute series changer for Auston Matthews. And they even got a goal from John Tavares early on in that game. But I loved the move. You think Matthews is going shot that whole way. I don't blame Allmark for biting at all. But there was a moment in that game, Frank. 8 seconds to go in the first period. The Leafs played a very good opening road period. And then that backbreaker by Pastrnak, or at least I thought in the moment it was going to be the backbreaker. I give full marks to the Toronto Maple Leafs for the way they didn't let that goal kill them. And full marks to Auston Matthews for coming up with a massive performance when his team needed it.
Yeah, look, Auston Matthews was by far the Toronto Maple Leafs' best big gun in game one. Didn't exactly translate to the score sheet. Obviously, the game was lopsided. But I didn't mind his game in game one. And game two, when you needed him most, your team's trailing. He finds a way to take it to another level, gets the game winner. The hands, beautiful, like silk. And you watch that and you see maybe that was a statement from the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe they're telling us something about the fight that they have in them. I thought that they'd find a way to bounce back. But as you're looking back to game one, you're also trying to find, okay, what are some things that you can hang your hat on if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs? Maybe you just flush it. Maybe you try and, you know, hope at some point in this series your lineup can be more complete with some of the injuries that they're nursing. And you need more goals. We talked about this yesterday. Yesterday was the 52nd game in the Toronto Maple Leafs Auston Matthews experience in the playoffs. Prior to that, half the games they had scored two or less. Their record, even when they score three, is not great. This is a high-scoring team that needs to score more. Perhaps the way that they battled in game two is a step in the right direction.
And listen, momentum, and this series is a great example of it, momentum doesn't carry over from game to game, but the Leafs heading back onto home ice, potentially if William Nylander can get healthy, there are some things definitely pointing in their direction. Quickly on Boston.
What'd you think of the goaltending change?
I loved it, honestly. I think part of what works is how tight those two are as well. Like, Allmark and Swayman, they're best buds, and I think they play off each other really well. And I think having that camaraderie it's something where, like, again, you want to go out there and almost play well for the other guy. So I think in Boston's situation, it works. And I thought Allmark was very good in that game. There's no sort of hindsight or remorse, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, easy for us to say, but at some point I would think that Jim Montgomery is going to get some kind of criticism, mostly just because it's never been done before. No team has ever gone into a playoffs, at least that I can remember, saying before the playoffs start, we're going to rotate our goalies.
Yeah. I think the interesting part will be, let's say game three, Swayman plays well and they win.
Then what?
Then I feel like you got to roll with Swayman again. But
everything you just said, though, you're either a believer or you're not.
Yeah. So maybe you're just like, again, last year, not going to Swayman at some point killed them in round one. Maybe this year they're just fully opposite end of the spectrum. True rotation the whole way. Why not?
It'd be different, and I'm all for it, because I really think that at this juncture, with how intense these games are, the workload that you're asking from these guys, yes, they're going to get nights off. You don't play 20-some games in a row in the regular season. Why would you suddenly get to the postseason and expect that that's the plan?
Yeah, I think you're bang on with that. Again, the thrillers last night, like, if someone ever says, can you give me one night to encapsulate the beauty of round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs? It was last night, because the stars were out in Edmonton and in Boston, or at least for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then the Carolina Hurricanes with a Kaniak comeback in that game against the Islanders. I didn't get a chance to catch the end of the game live. I was just following along on my phone, and it was just kind of like, one second you look and you're like, ah, there you go. Islanders are still in control. And then two goals 9 seconds apart for the Carolina Hurricanes. They tie it with the goalie pulled, and then they go ahead and win it. That was an absolute backbreaker for the Isles, Frank, and that crowd in Carolina, just watching their reactions to this. It was electric.
The Canes certainly could have the claim that they've got the loudest building in round one, at least to start. We haven't seen the series flip yet, but they're certainly in the conversation. It's been that loud in Raleighwood. Here's what I would say. The Islanders have had two incredible opportunities. Really outplayed the Canes in game one, still lose. In a spot yesterday, have a lead, got the Canes on the ropes, can even up this series, still can't do it. Does it feel like the Islanders to you have taken their best shot?
I just don't see how, if you can't win, like you said, those two games where, I mean, especially in game one, I think you executed your game plan really well. If you're the Islanders, you managed the shot clock. You didn't give Carolina a lot of opportunities. And it's like, you lost that game. And then yesterday, you get kind of gift wrapped the lead through 40 minutes and you squander that. Like, I have a hard time in envisioning more things going right for you somehow in games three and four. So I think this one's going to be quick, Frank.
I called sweep from the start. I mean, I certainly did not envision it playing out these first two games like they have. And that's kind of maybe the scariest part for the Islanders is, I'd say on the whole, if you were grading the Canes on how they played the first two games in their own building, I'd give them a C+. That's scary.
That is very frightening, not just for the Islanders, but I also think for whoever the Canes could potentially get in a round two, not to, you know, have New York's funeral while they're still breathing. But if you're another team sitting there going, boy, this isn't even Carolina at their best and they're doing stuff like this. I love the fact that they got some spread out scoring as well. Like, you look at their four goals. It was Teräväinen, Jarvis, Aho, three big guns for them. Martinook chipped in with some depth. Gensel pops on the empty netter. Like, that's part of what makes this Canes team dangerous as well. Quickly, I want to get to the Lindy Ruff thing, but we got to quickly mention Dallas Vegas, Frank. Of course, Mark Stone opens the scoring, right?
So we had an event last night at Greta Bar here in Vancouver. Walked in the door, missed the start of the Vegas game. And I walk in and someone says, hey, guess who scored the first goal for Vegas? And I was like, I mean, duh, Mark Stone. Who else would it be?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'd say you couldn't script it any better, but it feels like that's exactly what the Golden Knights did.
Yeah, and for everyone else in the league, it feels like you couldn't script it any worse. And it was
win. They top the top team in the West to start the series on the road. They get the heartbeat of their team back right at the exact juncture that they need him. Kind of all lines up perfectly. And I would say, since you're an Edmonton and an Oiler fan, a lot of people in the Pacific are probably just hoping that they're not in the or glad they're not in the Central.
Yeah, I think, again, Edmonton is wiping a little bit of sweat off their forehead going, whew, thank God LA won that last game and you managed to get the Kings and not the Golden Knights. Also, I just want to point out, Mark Stone scores, Hurdle scores, Hanifin picks up two assists as well. It was the deadline boys and the LTIR thing. Like, everything just came together perfectly for Vegas last night.
Good for them. Like, and because a lot of people... have sort of framed it as, oh, Frank, you're a Vegas hater. Just for an abundance of clarity, if this is how the rules worked and you're using them to your advantage, this is exactly how I would run my team too if I were running a team. Be aggressive until someone stops you.
Yeah, 100%. Let's go away from the playoffs for a little bit before we're joined by Johnny Lazarus and talk about the news off the ice yesterday. And that is that Lindy Ruff is going back to Buffalo. Frank, he was first hired by the Sabres all the way back in 1997.
That's the year you were born, in case people were wondering.
Yeah, that is crazy. And now here in 2024, he is going back. 23 total seasons coached. He made the conference finals, he was Eastern Conference champs with Buffalo back in 98-99, and he heads back to Buffalo. What do you make of this hire?
This is a really strange hire for me, and it's not because Lindy Ruff is going home. There's certainly a symmetry to that and a storyline that I think we can all appreciate. The tough part for me is, one, did the Buffalo Sabres actually conduct a search, or was this cooked from the beginning? And two, because it sure feels that way. And two would be, I don't know how, if you're Kevin Adams and your players come out after the season ends and use the words casual and comfortable to describe the environment that was around your team this season as you needed to take a big step forward and fell short. They had 91 points last year. 91 points would have gotten them in this year. 92 points would have, for sure, they would have been living comfortably. Instead, they were way back, 7-8 points back of where they were last year. And I don't know how you could watch New Jersey and what that team played like before making the coaching change, with the lack of attention to detail, with when you watch New Jersey's power play and how they did the same thing repeatedly time after time without seemingly much accountability, and also for a team in a somewhat similar spot than the one your Buffalo team is in, with some young players that really need a lot of help and or handholding along the way, that you could see all of that and then say, you know what, that's absolutely the guy we need. Let's not even have a search. We're going to hire Lindy Ruff and bring him back. That's the part I don't get. And it's just, was there a better candidate out there? I think of someone like Todd McClellan, who's available. And I say, Kings, structure, Oilers, structure, go back to the Sharks. And then you could make the argument, oh, well, what has Todd McClellan won in the Stanley, in the playoffs? So he hasn't won a Stanley Cup. But last time I checked, he's gotten his teams to the Stanley Cup playoffs, even set this Kings team on a course to make the playoffs this year. Why wouldn't he be someone that you'd look at and say, that's the type of structure that we need, instead of just going out almost with a blindfold on and saying, this is the guy we're hiring?
And that's the part where I wanted some clarity from you on that. And I know we got some questions about it in the chat, but it's like, this is a summer where there are a lot of really quality head coaches available. Frank, you mentioned McClellan. I know the chat, we have a lot of Oilers people in there. They love bringing up Jay Woodcroft at this time of year. If you wanted someone who was hard-nosed and going to be tougher on the players, you could look at a Craig Berube. But it just feels like Buffalo sat here and wanted to grab a headline and not grab a quality head coach.
Well,
and I don't know if that's, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and look, the fact that before he even stepped to the podium, Kevin Adams in his press release had to say, we're not hiring Lindy Ruff for nostalgia. Like, I know Kevin Adams wasn't the manager then, but Lindy Ruff has already coached under this ownership. Terry Pegula bought the team, and at some point, Lindy Ruff was there until 2013. Like, it just, I don't know that they needed to do this. And I think this is maybe the first step that Kevin Adams has made as general manager of the Sabres that I'm going, that one doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But I guess I also necessarily wasn't thinking along the same wavelength when it came to moving on from Don Granato either.
Yeah, and I was with you on that too. We were running behind. Let's get to our big segment for the day. It's the All 32 with Johnny Lazarus. The All 32 is powered by Booster Juice. Visit a location today to refuel, refresh, and re-energize, or download the new Booster Rewards app to earn, order, and enjoy. Johnny Lazarus from Morning Cup of Hockey and Daily Faceoff joins us live from Morning Skates out in New York. Game two between the Rangers and Capitals goes tonight. But I want to start by looking back quickly at game one, Johnny. It was that stretch of, 2 minutes and 6 seconds where the Rangers did a lot of their damage. Outside of that stretch, what did you make of the Rangers game?
Well, it's funny you say that because we just talked to Spencer Carberry about the same exact thing. And he thought his team did a really good job at shutting down the Rangers' top six, not only at 5-on-5, but also on the power play. The Rangers went 0-for-2, and typically, the Rangers feed off their power play a lot in games, so he feels really strong that if his team continues to do that, they'll light their chances against the Rangers' side in game two. And I know Tom Wilson had that little soundbite after the game saying that they only dominated for 5 minutes, but if you take away that 2-minute and 6-second span in the second period, it's a different game. But that said, I think the first goal in this game tonight is crucial for Washington, just because with the way the Rangers play that 1-3-1 system, you know, typically they're going to shut down the Caps, and the Caps had a really hard time generating offense in the third period. So I think Washington tonight will have a very, very, very strong first period and try to get that first goal so they can jump ahead.
It's funny that Tom Wilson made that comment, Johnny, because I'm thinking about it and going, yeah, but like if you only took off those 20 games for the Sabres this year that they didn't play well at the start, they would have made the playoffs. Like, yeah, unfortunately, that's not how it works. Got to ask you about a guy that kind of could be or should be a thorn in the side of Tom Wilson in Matt Rempe, the Rempire State Building. Big goal in game one. There was a lot of talk. Hey, should this guy be in the lineup? Shouldn't he? How will the Rangers utilize him? You've played hockey at a high level. How do you feel like this team reacts to Matt Rempe and his impact in the game?
Well, what's the saying, Frank? If things were different, they'd be different. That's one of my favorites in regards to the Tom Wilson saying. But, I mean, I've talked about Matt Rempe since his first game in the NHL and just what he's done to the city, the team, the building. It's very hard to measure unless you're actually in it and feel it. And the players all love him. Maybe they're tired of the questions about him because every post game it's, what'd you think of this play by Matt Rempe? What'd you think of that play by Matt Rempe? He just seems to be the center of every conversation. So I don't know if the guys love answering all the questions about him, but you know, you got to credit Jimmy Vesey and Barclay Goodrow as well for what they did in game one. I mean, that tic-tac-toe passing play was great. And Rempe actually starts the play up the ice. He takes the middle, kicks it out wide, and then Vesey and Goodrow have a little passing play behind the net and set him up for that goal. But everything he does, the word that I like to use is contagious. He's just smiling. He's happy. He's enjoying every single second of this ride. And it seems like he feels no pressure, which is crazy because he's a 21-year-old kid in New York City, you know, just taking on the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time, and it's no sweat for him. But he's been a breath of fresh air, I think, in general, just talking to him as a media member. But yeah, I think everyone loves him. And I think even opposing fans are starting to come around a little bit too, just seeing all the quotes and stuff about his mom attending her first game in MSG and whatnot. So that was pretty cool. And I apologize ahead of time to Zamboni just on the ice. So if it's too loud, I can try to walk into the hallway.
No, I love, I just heard the little beep there. I love the noise. That's the sounds of hockey. Look at that. Oh, what a beautiful arena. Our chat wants me to ask you what you thought about your boy Alexi Lafreniere in game one. He racked up 5 hits. Like, he was engaged, and it's a guy who is now in his third playoffs with the Rangers. I think it's fair to maybe expect he takes a bit of a step forward here.
Well, I want to ask you guys in reverse, what do you think of his hit on Iorio? Because I thought it was perfectly clean. You know, Iorio goes into the boards a little bit in an awkward position, but there are Caps fans that want to take Alexi Lafreniere's head off. I mean, the Rangers are celebrating their goal, and he's got McMichael slashing him in the ankles. Like, you know, I thought he played super well, and that's something I noticed about him too. Not as much last year, but the first round series against the Penguins in 2022, which was his first playoff series, he was extremely physical for a first overall pick, and you don't typically see that. So I think he really knows how to step it up in times like this, and I was really impressed with his first game. Did he contribute much offensively outside of that assist? No, but he made a pretty significant impact, I thought, in general in that game. And obviously, any chance I get to hype up Alexi Lafreniere, I'm going to do it. So I appreciate you teaming up, Tyler.
Yeah, no problem. And yeah, on the hit, I thought the how it looked or like the impact of it was worse than the hit itself. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure what else he could have done on that to make it more clean, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Perfectly clean to me.
All right, Johnny, enjoy game two tonight. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, guys. And we missed you this morning, Frank.
Yeah, a little early out here in Vancouver for the old 9 a.m. Eastern time appearance on Morning Cup of Hockey. I won't miss it next week.
A fun one last night, Tyler. Happy for your Oilers. And that's a sick sweatshirt, by the way.
I love it. Thank you, Johnny. Good style, as you would say. That is a wrap. The All 32 powered by Booster Deuce. Let's get to our Daily Faceoff inbox question. It's brought to you by Douglas Mattress. You can order today at douglas.ca/DFO. Their mattresses handcrafted in Canada, ensuring the highest quality materials and fastest delivery to you. Frank, your Ask DFO question: on a scale of 1 to 10, and I'll use another nice millennial or Gen Z term here, scale of 1 to 10 on the cringe meter, where does Dallas using their playoff slogan of, or you're using AI as their playoff slogan land to you? I don't know if you saw this. Pete Blackburn pointed out playoffs with the AI, 1 to 10 on the cringe meter.
Yeah, it's about a 9.4 in the old Richter scale.
Yeah, it was weird. I wanted to point it out. I also wanted to ask you, because I was in the barn last night in Edmonton, where do you come out on the Donair gun that they debuted at Rogers Place?
Dude, you didn't even like my dad joke. Donair, get it? Delivered by air? Come on.
That was funny. I did like the tweet. Come on. But yeah, it was great. They were loading up Donairs in the silver wrapping, putting them in like the t-shirt gun and like launching them. I can't believe it. Or it feels like a safety hazard, but the barn was rocking.
They come to a Phillies game. The fanatic drives around in a special cart that has a hot dog cannon on it. And he fires some beautiful death dogs to fans in the stadium. I mean, look, you've got to utilize what you've got in front of you. If you can pack a Donair in there, first off, you would need double meat for me. It wouldn't fit in the cannon.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've never had a Donair.
I've only had one in my life. They're a big, big like Edmonton. They have a cult following here. But I,
every time Jay says, well, you know, have a few drinks, we're going to go get a Donair. We never do.
Next time you're in Edmonton, we'll get that done, Frank. All right, let's move along to our daily bets brought to you by Bet365. You can sign up today and use the promo code DAILY365 to get in on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. I was 0 for 2 yesterday. Yikes. But tonight I got a couple of plays I like, including the Winnipeg Jets on the money line. Listen, I don't have a lot of confidence Alexander Georgiev is going to bounce back. I do have confidence in Connor Hellebuck on the other side. So I like the Jets in front of a whiteout in Winnipeg on a nice -110 wow. Pick 'em price. And I also like the Tampa Bay Lightning as road underdogs at +150. I think this series is going to go the distance, and I like the Bolts to even it up. +150 feels like a solid price. I think they'll have a better effort than they did in game one.
That's a huge bet on the Jets. I love to see it, but doesn't it feel like the Avs-Jets series is going to go the distance too? Colorado down 2-0. It seems really unlikely.
I feel like it's going to be one of those where the home team just keeps winning as they cruise along. And again, I like Hellebuck to bounce back, which is why I'm going with that one. We're going to be joined tomorrow on the show by Ken Wiebe to break down game two. So we'll go in depth on it then. But if I gun to your head, was going to make you pick over or under tonight in that one, it's set at 5.5.
Over.
I was debating it. But again, Hellebuck.
I don't even have to think about it. The Jets, they scored seven themselves two times in a row against the Avs. What part of that makes you lean under or think about under? And it's only 5.5.
Like a 4-1, 5-0 game. But again, there's no way the Avs get totally held off the board. Maybe you've talked me into the over. If you're as confident as Frank, head to Bet365 today.
If I were going to play anything, it would either be Avs or over.
Yeah, the over might be the move. The over might be the move. Frank convincing me during my own segment to change picks.
If I were going to take an under, it would be Preds Canucks.
Yeah, I was
in the building for tonight. Saros gave up a really uncharacteristic goal. Demko was on his game in game one. That part, it's the kind of secret about the Canucks is they don't really score that well.
Yeah, we got a question in the chat here. Will Trevor Moore see any discipline for his hit on Vincent Desharnais yesterday? He was given a 2-minute minor. We haven't heard anything from the Department of Player Safety yet. I don't think it's going to get anything.
I haven't checked, but if I were to guess anything, it would be a fine.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap up the show with a little bit of garbage time. Frank, what do you got for us?
So the calculators were out to end the season, and we've got some bonus overage penalties that are going to be applying onto next year's salary cap. So for the Edmonton Oilers and their fans, Tyler, no shock to you. They basically pre-spent the salary cap increase that's coming everyone's way. $4.3 million the cap is expected to increase for this upcoming season. The Connor Brown bonus structure, then piling on a little bit with Corey Perry, and his contract has the Oilers at $3.45 million in an overage that will carry to next season, effectively reducing their cap space by that same amount. Now, why this is interesting is there are six teams that have a bonus overage penalty of at least $1 million heading into next season. That's a record. The fact that we have three teams, multiple teams over $2 million, including the Dallas Stars and the Washington Capitals, which you can see here, $2.57 million for the Stars, $2.04 for the Caps. These are significant penalties that I think you have to keep an eye on. And it really hurts even something minor like the Minnesota Wild, $425,000. Well, they've also got $14.7 million in dead cap money that this is just piling on to reduce their cap space for next season. So big shout out to our friends at Cap Friendly who did a lot of the legwork behind the scenes, you know, confirming this with the teams that are in play. It's a nerdy but important number, I think, to keep in mind for next season, because if you can avoid it, you never want to go into next season with an overage.
Yeah, especially, I mean, a team like Edmonton, they could have some tough decisions to make this summer. But, I mean, Oilers fans don't want to hear about that. They want to focus on the playoffs. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show brought to you by Bet365. Shout out to everyone in the YouTube. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you haven't already, because, again, tomorrow, another double dose of hockey content your way. Morning cup of hockey, followed by us, Daily Faceoff Live at noon Eastern. Chat with you then.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.